Visa, MasterCard, and cash accepted.
Hi, I'm Olivia Koltuska, Director of Investment Operations at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. My family is proud to call Sheridan home, and I'm honored to support our community through organizations like Rooted in Wyoming and Whitney Benefits. At Legacy Ridge, giving back is part of who we are, from local sponsorships to helping families and businesses plan for the future. Visit us at 45 North Main, next to Frackleton's. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No run around, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, June 30th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Wyoming State Historic Sites Supervisor, Sherry Mooney Shada. Actually, it's Superintendent.
Superintendent.
Superintendent. See, this is what happens when the email's down.
Yeah.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
You had a great big event that I've been curious about.
Yes.
The big exhibit grand opening.
Yes.
And that coincided with Bozeman Trail Day.
Correct.
How was it?
It was great. We were all set up to host everything outside, and then it just poured. But you can't complain about the rain. We need it.
Right.
But thankfully, our new space is so big, we were able to move everybody inside and keep our exhibits right where they're supposed to be. And so people could see our exhibits. They could talk to our vendors. They can learn how to flint nap and, Game and Fish brought pelts that people could touch. We had living history. You can churn butter and watch somebody do the spinning wheel. But then it quit raining in the afternoon, which is great, because then we were able to put up the crow teepee and people could try the atlatl and do some outside events. But it was really good. We had several hundred people for it.
How were the atlatl throws?
There was one little boy who was very good. His family would not starve if he were the hunter. Everybody else would. He was very good.
Just give it to little Joe.
That's right.
He'll bring home
he's
a
on
couple
it.
Rabbits.
That's
fantastic,
right.
To
yeah,
hear, though.
Yeah.
Because that thing is, it's an experience
to
throw that. It was one of the first real hunting tools that man had ever developed. And it's rare to even see one in the world. And once you actually throw it, you realize how much skill really comes with that.
Right.
Thing.
It's different than a bow and arrow. You can aim that, I think, maybe easier. But an atlatl, if you've never seen one, is a piece of wood hooked, like a spear hooked to a piece of wood you're holding in your hand. And it's kind of V-shaped and you toss it. It's hard to describe. The spear comes off, but you have to aim it in the right spot with enough force to take an animal down.
It really adds, it's kind of a lever device.
Yes.
Crudely carved that would add leverage to speed.
Yes.
Or add speed
add
and
speed.
Momentum.
Correct.
Due to leverage.
Yes, thank you.
And it's amazing because you think, oh, I'll be able to. It's just like throwing a spear.
No,
it is not. But it's fun to experience.
It is.
And if
you
ever get the opportunity, folks, I would totally suggest that you take somebody up on it. Now, how did that feel, having everybody come in, see the exhibits, see the looks of wonder?
Yeah, it was really great. And it was really festive because our musicians were inside too. So you're walking around and talking to people and learning things to, fiddle and guitar music, which just kind of made it more festive.
Oh, yeah.
And people, you know each other, and they get out and they talk, and it's a real place for them to connect. And we had an author there with his new book, and he was signing books, and it was a really fun day.
Mm-hmm. What was the highlight for you?
Oh my gosh. Having space for a plan B. Mm-hmm. Our building is so big, and we put all of our exhibits on wheels so that we could move them out of the way and utilize this big room. But half the point of this event was to showcase the exhibits, so we didn't want to move them. But we're just able to utilize all the other space in the building to get people inside. And we've never been able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that felt great. Just being like, hey, nice. Bring them in.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Now, looking back at the center itself, what's it been like going through this whole journey of maybe even receiving an email or something from the state? I mean, how did that happen when they were like, Sherry, we want to give you a new interpretive center?
I wasn't the superintendent then. Our district manager, Misty Moore, was previously the site superintendent at Fort Phil, and the Helmsley Charitable Trust approached her and asked her to apply for this grant. And she had been dreaming of an addition. The two superintendents before her had been dreaming of an addition. And so this opportunity was presented, and we were able to bring that to life. And so while Misty was there and applied for the grant, then I came on as superintendent, and then we worked together with a whole bunch of people to try to figure out, what do we want? The landscape is such an artifact. It explains so much of the story. It's a whole nother character in the story. And this building, usually museums don't have a room full of windows, but we do,
so that
you can see outside. But then that made it kind of challenging. Like, how do we show off what we have without damaging artifacts and not blocking the view? And so now we've got artifact drawers. So they're in the dark. And this is my curator heart talking. They're in the dark and not being exposed to light all the time. But if you want to know more, you can pull out those drawers and get really up close and personal with them. You can't touch them. There's plexiglass over it. But you can still dive deeper if you want.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
And they're protected.
They are. They are. But they don't do anybody any good in storage. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way to get them out.
Or even just pictures. For some reason, it's just not the same.
It's not.
You know, it's fun to see a picture of a coin.
Yeah.
But to be able to actually see the coin or see the button.
Exactly.
I mean, it's got a whole nother meaning.
Yeah.
It brings a level of connectivity, I think, when I can see the object itself and realize, wow, she wore that.
Yeah.
Or she wrote in that.
It's more personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're not into military history, we're all human. There's a way you can connect with the stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because there were so many civilians out at the fort.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, if you can't connect with the military, you can connect with someone.
Yeah.
I needed a job.
Exactly.
And I had to go to the frontier to get one.
And I brought my family and young children, you know, my wife and young children, too.
To think about the risk that these people took.
Uh-huh.
To brave a whole different world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
It is really incredible.
And let's keep the fantastic history going up at the fort. Let's talk about the upcoming Immersion in Crow Culture program that's going to be at Fort Phil Kearny, July 16th.
Yes, Thursday, July 16th at 6 p.m. in our Interpretive Center, we are hosting a free program. This is part of the Native American Student Interpretive Ranger program. It's a very long title, but what that means is that different Native American students have the opportunity to be a part of this program. In the past, they've split their time between the Medicine Wheel and the Bighorns and the Fort. This year, they're just at Medicine Wheel interpreting to the public. But the two students happen to be sisters, and are Crow, and they are doing a joint program together. And so they will bring this to the fort and explain regalia, dance, all just how it all connects in Crow culture.
One of my favorite programs up there, the student who came in, was it last year, 2 years ago, and taught me about Kiowa history?
Two years ago.
My mind was blown.
Yeah.
And then to hear his personal story, that by joining this program, it reconnected him.
Yeah.
I just think it's a fantastic program.
It really is.
Now, when we look at the fort, there's a lot of indigenous people's perspectives up there. Let's talk about why that's important, especially with the event that we just had, where, you know, we sat right here with Spencer, who said, I think it's high time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, far past time.
Yeah.
To get more perspectives on this battle.
Yeah.
Well, Bozeman Trail has got Indigenous people's perspectives from start to finish.
Absolutely.
Why do you feel that's so important for people to learn that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the fort was only there for 2 years. It's such a small time, small piece of history. There's traditional. So people say, oh, yes, we were here for, you know, thousands of years before. The archaeological record also supports that, what they've been saying for years. People have been there for over 12,000 years. And you listen to, like, the Crow story about how they came west and found their spot in the Bighorn Mountains. I mean, all this tradition is there. And then the Lakota came in, and the Cheyenne, and the Arapaho, and so many more people that I know we don't talk about. We talk about those four tribes because they were associated with the fort specifically.
Yeah.
And we're interpreting fort history. But there's so much more history there before and after the fort was there.
Like the Kiowa.
Yeah. Yeah. The Kiowa used to be here. They're related to the Crow. And then they kind of got pushed south when the Lakota came in. And, you know, everybody's moving around these areas. And there's just so much history. It would be really, I think, arrogant to only talk about the 2 years the fort was there and just talk about the soldiers, because the fort was there because there were Indigenous people nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say maybe the only reason you might see maybe a little bit more of like the settlers' historical accounts is because they wrote it down.
Absolutely.
They had journals. They kept track of what they were doing in a day. Mm-hmm. And so we can go back and we can look at that.
Yeah.
And we can be pretty accurate with it.
Yes. Yes. It's hard when you have like the military and they wrote everything down and they had report on report. And then you have another culture that's entirely sharing their history in an oral tradition.
Storytellers.
Right. Yeah. And until somebody comes in and writes that down and then you lose something in that translation. Yeah. It's just so different when you have people recording their history in two different ways.
Which is another reason why I appreciate Indigenous art so much, because a lot of that is the storytelling, and you get that perspective. The exhibit up at the Britain right now, I think people should really take some time and head up there and check that out, because it's like it was the missing piece in everything. And so I'm really happy about this. Now let's talk about what people can expect if they go to this event.
Yes, yes. So our students will be there presenting, and then afterwards there will be time for question and answer.
So they'll be presenting basically like cultural
things. Yes, talking about the significance of the regalia. From a program our student put on last year, and she explained this too, there's significance behind every single thing you put on in your regalia. And it's just another way to get that history out there. It's not like, oh, it looks pretty, you know, like there's a reason behind everything. And it's a good opportunity to learn about that kind of thing.
And I think that's something that military individual service members, both past and present, could really appreciate, because everything on that uniform has a heavy significance.
Yeah.
And, you know, one military member walking into a group of other military members who may be wearing their Class A's or their blues, however folks choose to call them now. And you can look at them and see, wow, that's your history.
Mm-hmm.
That's you're wearing your history on your chest, who you fought with on your shoulders.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And so take that perspective. And when you look at these beautiful, you know, powwow performers, and even though they're not military, but that significance is still there. Every feather means something. Every bead means something.
Yeah. Who made it? Were you with them? Was it gifted to you? Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it more than just, you know, an outfit. Mm-hmm. It makes it more than just something pretty to wear. It makes it so significant. And I guess that's why you just call it regalia.
Yeah. There's a lot of pieces to it. Yeah.
It's just so much to it. Now, when we look at the broader educational programming and mission of the Wyoming State Historic Sites, How do you feel this program and other ones have really fit in, say, over the course of the last year? Because you and I have been talking about this for quite some time.
Yeah.
How do you feel the state historic sites have done lately in really doing that? Because I feel like they've opened up quite a bit.
Yeah, we've worked as an agency really hard to be inclusive of different cultures, even sometimes changing policy for parks to accommodate those who recreate differently than our traditional, I'll just say it, white user groups.
Yeah.
So maybe our policies don't fit with other cultures. And so we've worked to embrace that and not, and you know, connect with the community, not turn people away. We want everybody to feel welcome, and we want everybody to find, like, see themselves represented somehow.
Yeah. Because everyone's a part of this history.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the beautiful part of America.
Yes, exactly. And our whole agency mission is to connect with communities and enhance them, enhance the places we're in. And so I love being able to offer opportunities for people to come together and learn about something that maybe they didn't know before.
Yeah.
Or a group.
And to see that light go off.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be just one of the big perks of the job, especially if it's little ones. I don't know. You know, when we talk about kids learning science and kids learning, I was that kid. I think that's the thing. Dad drugged me to a bunch of historical places when I was a little boy. And back then, a lot of the historical places that Dad would drag me didn't have anything.
No. Yeah.
Not even, you know, a display to read. And so Dad would sit there and tell me this history.
Yeah.
And you're bored to tears. You know?
I know.
But as I've gotten older, I'm like, what a fantastic childhood to have.
Yeah.
You know, when your dad's telling you that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge history of big brass vats in Star Valley that used to be used for salt.
Yeah.
Just to boil down the Salt River. I mean, it was pretty amazing stuff. All right. Now, what are you hoping visitors take from this unique experience on July 16th?
Yeah. I just take the opportunity to come out and learn more about another culture that's very close to us geographically. Yeah. I mean, they're our neighbors. And welcome our presenters. We have a crow teepee up still from our Bozeman Trail Day. We had some folks come down and put that up for us. And so you can come inside and learn about history and culture. And then you can go outside and see the teepee if you'd like.
And what a unique piece of technology.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible to watch them put it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will address that as a technology.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It absolutely changed.
Yeah.
The behaviors of an entire peoples, and just like a phone or anything else. Yeah. I mean, it changed who they are and their migrations following the herds, how important that piece really was to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Get on up there and see that, folks. We're going to have more with our state historic site superintendent, Sherry Shada, just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
BioJam 2026 Outdoor Concerts in downtown Sheridan. Four nights, big stage, country, rock, and hip-hop. Wednesday, free concert benefiting Reach with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Thursday, rock the night with Shoot to Thrill, Blow Your Top, and Recapture. Friday, Afro Man and Yin Yang Twins. And Saturday, Michael Ray. WyoJam 2026, July 8th through the 11th. Get your tickets online at wyojam.com.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. and stop China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
Wyoming roads demand tires you can trust, and now's the perfect time to save at Sheridan Honda. For a limited time, buy three tires and get one free on all tires. Whether you're commuting, traveling, or heading into the mountains, our Honda-trained experts will help you find the right tires for your vehicle and keep you driving with confidence. Plus, your free tires included with dealer installation and a two-wheel or four-wheel alignment. Get your vehicle adventure ready and save big. Visit Sheridan Honda today. Sheridan Honda, your hometown Honda dealer.
It's time for Moss Holder's annual 4th of July sale. This week only, you can receive huge discounts on several doorbuster items. Sofas start at $4.95, recliners just $3.95, five-piece dining sets begin at $4.75, and you can get a queen-size Serta mattress for only $3.45. All non-doorbusters receive sale pricing too, so whether you find your favorite piece in stock or choose to customize an order, every purchase is discounted. Moss Holder's 4th of July sale ends at 4 o'clock this Saturday. Moss Holder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Wyoming State Historic Sites Superintendent Sherry Mooney Shada. Now, Sherry, one other event that's coming up, and this is also a very unique experience. My father loved to build and restore horse-drawn wagons and harness, so I've had lots of opportunities to jump in one of these things and ride it around. It's fun.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have a dad that does that. So, but they've got an opportunity coming up.
Yes. We are partnering with Moon Hitch Wagon Company in Buffalo to provide evening tours of the fort in a horse-drawn wagon. So you get to go, we'll take no more than 10 in a wagon. And we call them the golden hour tours. If you're a photographer, it's, you know, about the time the sun's setting. So they leave at 6 and 7:30. It's an hour long guided tour through the fort's property. We start in the fort, but then we leave and we go outside of the fort itself. We have so much land out there that most people don't even see. So we will have a historian on the wagon with you, giving you different perspective and stories that are maybe not usually told at the fort, and going through areas that people don't usually see. And so it'll be a really unique experience to experience the history in a different way.
Yeah. I'm standing out there with you one night. I think we were there for the moonlit tours and my daughter was there with me and we just kind of went off. And I know I've told this story before, but again, try to put yourself in the boots, the moccasins, the shoes of anyone who would have been out there during that time period. And what a lonely experience that would have been.
Absolutely. If you think about being in a territory where you are not welcome, you're with the army, you're not welcome there. That's a very different experience than what we have today when we're very comfortable and we openly welcome people out there. And so, yeah, if you try to put yourself in the mindset of a military person, it would be very different. But you're going to see the same views, be more comfortable and more safe than you are today. Nobody's planning to attack us, I don't think. So on either side. So and evening's the best time out there. It's so pretty. And most people probably aren't out there unless they live out there. You know, we're closed for the day. The visitors have gone home. It's just such a beautiful area.
I think one question I may not have ever asked you, why was that specific location chosen?
Yeah. Okay.
To build a fort.
Yeah. That's a great question because people look at it and they're like, oh, that's horrible. And then they realize Colonel Carrington's reasons, and even the military groups that come out and do their staff rides there, they're like, okay, we get it. So it's pretty flat in this section. You're in a bowl, which you think, oh, people can be up on the hills shooting down at you. But at this time, their weapons couldn't reach that far. And so you are out of shooting distance. You're next to a main trail, so he wanted the different tribes to come by and find them for trade, for discussion. and you're right on the creek. The only thing is you're not close to a big source of wood. So they did have to go about 5 miles to Story to get the pine, but otherwise you have everything right there. And you can put your lookouts on top of the hills. You can see 13 miles around from that area. Let the fort know what's happening. So it seems weird that it's kind of down in this bowl shape area, but Carrington had all his reasons for it.
Once you start thinking like Colonel Carrington,
that's right,
and thinking about the concerns that he had, then it makes total sense.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's switching over to the Trails Inn. We got a lot of new folks in the county.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually one of the fastest growing counties in Wyoming. So can you inform these folks what the Trail End is and its significance to the history of our area, not just the region, the entire Cowboy State?
Well, Trail End was the home of John Kendrick and his family. Mr. Kendrick came here as a cowboy, built his cattle empire, then went into politics. He was governor of Wyoming and a three-term U.S. senator. And so it kind of shows a very different side of cowboy life, more on the cattle baron side. We had a bunch of visitors this weekend on bus tours, and they were so shocked to find this beautiful home in the wilds of Wyoming. You know, you think Old West and log cabins, and he has this beautiful 1913 mansion with electricity and running water. And it's just, it's such a surprise for how modern it was at the time. It seems modern now. And so it's just a different view of our state's history.
It's a very unique place, within northern Wyoming. And it cost a lot to get it built back in the day. It took a long time to get it accomplished. It had groundbreaking technological advancements for its time, so much so that it stands up to this day. You can go out there and see it during the annual summer evening. Why is this such a big popular event?
Well, first of all, it's free, and so it's a great time to come up. But we also, and we offer museum tours. We're open for people to come through, but we'll have live music and lawn games. You can just come hang out, bring your picnic supper, listen to music, go play badminton. Our Trail End guilds will be serving cookies and lemonade. And it's just a nice time to gather with the community.
I used to be a pretty nasty badminton player back in the day, my just want people to know that.
Yeah. So this is happening on July 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at Trail End in Sheridan, the Kendrick Mansion.
There you go, folks. Grab the family, grab a picnic blanket, head up there, knock that birdie around a little bit.
Yeah.
That's always something fun to do. If you've never played badminton, I think it's a great opportunity for you and your family to do it. And what a better, there is no better place than right there on the lawn of the Kendrick Mansion. I mean, how fun is that? Now, you've got another event coming up. An author is going to pay us a visit.
Absolutely. Back at Fort Phil Kearny on Tuesday, July 28th at 6 p.m., we are having author Shannon Smith come and speak. And she has a long history with interpreting the state's history in the region. She wrote, among other things, Give Me 80 Men, Women, and the Myth of the Fetterman Fight. And this time she's talking about Dee Brown and Mari Sandoz's take on the fort. So it's she's an author talking about two other authors. So in the 60s, Mari Sandoz was sent an advanced copy of Dee Brown's Fort Phil Kearny book. He wrote Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. So he sent her some, his publishing company sent her this book to review, and Shannon found it in the archives in Nebraska. And it is annotated to the hilt, scratched out, so many notes, you know, and she's like, wow, okay, she has a lot of notes on his book. And so she'll be talking about the two authors' perspectives on the fort and how their upbringing shaped those perspectives.
Interesting.
Very different people.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll get an interesting perspective on how history is interpreted by the people that we read and listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
That is really interesting. That's a different kind of little program.
Yeah, we're excited for this.
Sherry, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's did we get everything covered?
Yes, thank you. Good job.
Good job. It's always great to see you. I always end up having fun and laughing with you. Thank you for coming in. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to speak with Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Heard the news. Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides a range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit in a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef. Constitutional rights, yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan, Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great, a fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This 4th of July, the spirit of America's 250th stampedes into Buffalo for the biggest American birthday bash in Wyoming.
Have mercy, looky there, what's she doing in here? I think I just fell in love.
The Red, White, and West 250, honoring America's 250th anniversary with hot new country western star Cole Goodwin. I'm Tommy B from the Coyote Morning Show, proud to bring the footstop and two-step and music of Cole Goodwin to downtown Buffalo. The Red, White, and West 250 is more than a concert. It's a celebration of the land we love and the western spirit that still runs strong in Wyoming. A night of country music, small town pride, and America's 250th birthday celebrated the way it ought to be. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at wildfeeder.com or at the gate for the Red, White, West 250 with Cole Goodwin.
Celebrate the 50th anniversary of Whiz Bang Fireworks. Come on over to the stand and sign up for giveaways. Whiz Bang Fireworks is open now with a huge selection of fireworks. Whiz Bang Fireworks will get your 4th of July off to the big bang, plus celebrate the 50th anniversary. Whiz Bang Fireworks, open daily, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on North Main Street behind Pizza Hut. Please follow all local laws. Whiz Bang Fireworks, celebrating their 50th anniversary.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Buy 2 weeks, get 2 weeks free. That's right. Buy 2 weeks and get 2 weeks free with a Country Bounty personal classified special. Run your personal classified ad for 2 weeks, and we'll help you sell your unwanted items by giving you 2 additional weeks and no charge. Now, if you need extra cash, clean out that garage. The Country Bounty is the perfect place to do it. Direct mail to every home in Sheridan and Johnson County and online at SheridanMedia.com. The deadline Thursday, 1 o'clock. Call 672-7421 or stop by the Sheridan Media offices at 1716 KROE Lane.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we're joined by Habitat for Humanity of the Eastern Bighorns, homeowner server specialist Christina Jensen, and our marketing and outreach specialist, Denham Lind. Did I get all that right?
All good, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Very.
Very close.
First name is Krista.
Krista. All right. See, I got too cocky.
It's all right. The delivery was excellent.
Right? And when it comes to showbiz, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Ladies, thank you for coming in this morning. It's good to see you. How are things going down at Habitat, Denham?
My gosh, they're good. And they're like roaring and ready. And summer's hit us really nicely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, and I'm not sure if you ladies deal with this on any level, but one thing that I've talked to Habitat about for quite some time, the price of materials. Do we know if those have become more available, or if the Habitat's had difficulties reaching out and trying to get a hold of some of this stuff?
You know, I would say that we continue with our work and with our, you know, our purpose for having affordable housing and attainable housing. I think we have an excellent group of people that allow for navigating those challenges when they do come up.
Yeah.
But we have excellent suppliers. You know, we get our drywall, we get our, you know, cabinets, all of those things. And we keep trucking.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so difficult because, you know, Habitat, who does these things for individuals to make sure that they have a great home to live in, have got to kind of navigate through that pricing, which makes things so difficult. Now, when we look at how many homes have gone up this summer, what are we talking numbers wise on that?
In terms of Habitat homes?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
So we just recently had a closing, I believe that was in April, in Ranchester, and that was very exciting. We got to celebrate two new homeowners.
Oh, fantastic.
And well, one home, two homeowners of the same home, for clarity purposes. Clarity purposes are important. So one of the things that we are excited about is we do have two homes that we will be doing in the Sheridan area.
Oh, fantastic.
For this upcoming homeownership application cycle, which is actually open right now. So anybody can submit an application. I encourage everybody to do so, whether they're not sure if they'll qualify, what their specific circumstances are, because once it's all on paper, we can really dig into the details and determine the accessibility for that person at that time. And that's open from now until July 31st.
What does that look like in the beginning? I mean, if I'm somebody and I'm out there right now and I'm hearing this and I'm like, you know, maybe I qualify. Maybe I'm the person who would fit best. What do they need to do?
So visit our website. We have our application there posted under our programs tab. Denim actually manages our website, and she's incredible. So it's a PDF that you can download, print it out, and fill it out, or you can pick up a physical application from our office. That's actually my role specifically as the homeowner specialist. I really dig in with those applicants, and I go through all of their qualifying paperwork. I find out what's their story, what's their situation, and we see how we can help them.
Now, when you're talking about qualifying paperwork, there's the application. I probably need to turn in just about anything financial that I have, really.
So it's a specific list. We do ask for 2 years of tax returns. We do need documentation of employment, steady income, things like that. We also want to have a letter from the homeowner, prospective homeowner, or someone in their support circle. We want some bank statements. It's a lot like what somebody would submit if they were qualifying for a mortgage, because that's the end hope. That's the end goal.
How many folks are you sitting with a month?
It really depends. It depends on if we have an open cycle. Right now we do. So I've had sometimes multiple people in one day, two or three people come through the office and chat and ask questions. Sometimes it's quieter, but I have other programs that I'm responsible for during those, you know, off times. But right now we're wanting as many people as possible to apply, because you never know if you're going to be that person. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to say, oh, well, somebody else would be more worthy, or my circumstances aren't necessarily as dire as somebody else's might be. And I think that is a defeatist mindset. I think that putting in the application and letting the process happen is the best way to find out, could this be reality for me?
And I love how you put that, because it's not, you know, it's not like a, oh, feel sorry for me type of situation from what these people are.
Almost never.
Yeah. It's more of a, well, I don't have it that bad.
Exactly.
I want, you know, someone else who may have it worse than me to have this opportunity.
The lady in the shoe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, when it comes to like the interview itself, some people probably pretty worried, you know, talking about mortgages and applications. Is it pretty formal or informal when you and I sit down and we start going over everything?
I would say it's informal but professional. I don't ever want anyone to feel on the spot or feel like they're under, you know, a microscope or something like that. But because it is a financial undertaking and because it's a home, you know, you're applying to be a homeowner, there are things that we need to make sure are double checked and understood by all parties. But I would say warmly informal.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. When it comes to the cycle itself, because I think I've heard a lot of people talk about this over the years. How long does a cycle last?
So it depends. Sometimes it's a month and change. In this instance, we opened the homeownership cycle on May 18th, and it will run through July 31st. So not quite 2 months. I don't know. I'm bad at math and calendars, guys.
So, but within that period, that's when the applications come in. Mm-hmm. And then how long will it kind of be out?
When you say out, do you mean like how long until it? It depends. In years past, I think we've done an application cycle sometimes annually, sometimes we do it biannually. So it just really depends on the inventory that we have available in terms of properties and things of that nature. But in terms of how the application process plays out, I'll review everybody's application. We don't make a decision until after that July 31st date because we couldn't consider everybody's application until we have everybody's application at that end time. So
wow. So it's not a couple times a year, though. Now's the time to jump on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's not to say that, you know, if you get me your paperwork on July 31st, we're still green light, you know, go. Collect $200, all of the things. But it's definitely something that now would be the time to put that into action for sure.
How long have you seen it take from beginning to end of this process?
Well, that's the amazing thing about the Traditional Habitat Homeownership Program is we partner with the families for a long-term mutual goal. So when we partner with the family, we're looking at 12 to 18 months of commitment because it's not just I put in an application, it's stamped, the bank says yes, and then they move in. They take part in building the home, building their financial literacy, building their skill set. All of those things are in a culmination. And eventually at closing, like once we get from, you know, somebody fills out an application to a year potentially down the road, they're closing on their home. The reason that we allow for that long of a process is to build the home with the homeowner.
Sweat equity is exactly what you guys call that, right? Mm-hmm. Where the potential homeowner or the individual who has the home is putting just as much sweat on the ground mm-hmm. as any of the people who are actually developed. I think that creates a whole level of appreciation.
I think so too. I love what it does for the community effort of it as well, because it's one thing to see, you know, a housing development spring up, you know, down the block from you. It's another thing to be part of it and to know that that home is going to be benefiting someone directly in your community, someone that's learning skills and having a life-changing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, was there anything else that you would like people to know about this cycle, what they can do? Because I don't think that there's any way where it's like, oh, this person will have a leg up over this person. It's actually quite an equal playing field and not a whole lot of, you know, getting ahead of anyone else. It's almost like a timing issue and how your finances are, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not about, well, I submitted on June 1st and someone else submitted on July 1st. That doesn't play into it. And that's why we have that cycle open for the entire duration of while we're accepting those applications and why we don't finalize a decision until all applicants have had the time to put in their, put their say in. So one of the things that we're looking for is three things. We're looking for housing need. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're living under a bridge or that you're, you know, living in crowded homes. We see a lot of times people spending way more than a third of their income on housing. And so that's a big factor.
I got a friend spending half. Right now. Half of their paycheck is gone
per month. Yeah. That's crazy. So we're looking for housing need. We're looking for willingness to partner. So those sweat equity hours, that desire to better themselves. We at Habitat believe in a hand up, not a hand out. And so I think that's really crucial. And then ability to pay is the third factor. We want to set people up for success. We would never want somebody to move into a home that ultimately down the road they couldn't afford or was a, you know, a burden disguised as a gift, you know? Yeah.
And when someone's behind the eight ball in their life, they know how that feels. And it's yeah. pretty rough and it's hard to get out front.
Absolutely.
Again. So when it comes to, let's say somebody's out there, they're like, you know what? I meet all of those qualifications. I have until July 31st.
That's
so
correct.
This window's closing.
It's, yeah, we've got, what's tomorrow is the first, I believe, if that's how time works. So yes, we've got 31 days. And I really hope that as many people as possible take advantage of it. I'm just so excited.
Have you gotten a lot of applications this year?
A lot is, it's like that saying of like, that was a weird thing that happened. If I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd have two nickels, which is not a lot of nickels, but that's right. still, you know, a number of occurrences. I would love to have more. Ultimately, I would love to have as many people as possible consider themselves for this program.
Now, are you looking at some of these applications currently or do you wait until the cycle's done?
No, we review them. But when we get to the next step after the application cycle closes, that's when we start to make a deliberation in terms of the board. But a nice thing about that, too, is that it's confidential and it's anonymous. Like we live in such a small town and I love it here. I've been here for 9 years, but we don't attach someone's name to their application. It's really, truly based off of need and that individual's circumstances, but not their name, not their title, nothing like that.
When you're reading news stories and looking at things about the housing crisis in Sheridan, what goes through your mind?
I'm so glad I get to be part of an organization that can help to remediate that and to remedy that one family at a time.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
3 months. I have a background in banking and in mortgage qualification or qualifying people for mortgages. But I started it at the end of March. So
what's been the highlight so far?
There's so many things. We have a great team energy. Our weekly meetings are fantastic. We have such a great group of diverse people that bring so much to the table. And we all have a heart and are very passionate about the work that we do.
Yeah. Has anyone like on the street approached you or a friend if they're like, oh, she was over there, but now she's with Habitat?
You know, prior to this, I worked for a huge bank and I worked remotely from my house. So no, not really. Not really. I get to be kind of anonymous in that sense.
Do you kind of like being out now, though?
I do. I do. I love our community and I love getting to be more forward facing in that aspect.
I don't want individuals working in the mortgage and the loan field to feel one way or the other. But does it feel good working?
Oh, it feels,
you know, you're like, okay,
amazing.
I'm really making an impact.
It really does. I used to, again, I'm not naming the gigantic bank, but I can tell you that there aren't any in Wyoming. I worked remotely and we had no Wyoming clients, but I would find ways to give back, you know, bank fees, you know, kind of on the down low. Because it was just phone calls. And if it was within my clearance level, I would just do it.
Yeah.
Because they had enough, they were making plenty, the bank was doing fine. And so now to get to have that be my focus for work is just incredible.
Helping people.
Yeah.
I mean, it really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like for you.
Yes.
Is this something that you think you'd want to do for ever and ever?
As long as I can. Yeah. I think it's, a wonderful calling and I'm thrilled that I have the skill set and the compassion to do it.
One more time, walk me through what I gotta do to sit in front of you by the end of July.
So grab the application either from our office, which is 44 Fort Road. We are in the same building as the Habitat Restore, but we have a different office entrance and we have admin built offices there. And we will get you a physical application, lickety split, fill it out, bring in the supporting documents, go to the website if you prefer, print out the document or fill it out online. But there are certain things that have to be signed, you know, the old fashioned Johnny, you know, Johnny Hancock way. We call it the Johnny Law in our office because of Johnny. And make sure that that gets to our desk, and I will start the process.
All right. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for popping in this morning. There was a little bit of confusion this morning. I hope I came through for you. I really did.
You did.
That's excellent. Awesome.
But I greatly appreciate you. I greatly appreciate what you do. Is there anything else you would like folks to know about the application process or anything else coming up?
Absolutely. And actually, Krista will be at Java Moon. If you have any questions about the application, she'll be at Java Moon on Main Street today from 10 to 11. Mm-hmm. And then she'll be at the Hub on Smith on Thursday from...
I believe it's 2 to 3 p.m. Do I have my calendar with me? No, but I think it's actually 2:30 to 4:30, if memory serves correctly.
Okay, so if I get there at 3, you'll be there.
I will.
All right, fantastic. Ladies, once again, thank you very much for coming in, giving us your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
Leave the crowd behind and head 30 miles up Red Gray to Sparrow Wigwam, smack dab in the middle of Wyoming's Bighorn Mountains. Unwind on a guided half or all-day horseback ride through the towering pines and alpine meadows, featuring a saddlebag lunch beside a cool mountain stream. Then turn your adventure into a getaway and rent a cozy cabin for the night. Whether you're a first-time rider or an old hand, Sparrow Wigwam is a trail for you. Make it all happen at SparrowWigwam.com.
The University of Wyoming Research and Extension Center celebrates 110 years of agricultural research in Sheridan. Join them at Wyarno July 1st for tours of alfalfa, grass, and forage crop variety trials and explore alternative forage, grain, and pulse crops under testing. They will provide updates on alfalfa weevil management research, native seed collection, propagation techniques, and weed management in alfalfa. Tours start at 9 with lunch to follow. The event is free and open to the public. RSVP by calling 307-673-2856.
I'm Chief Travis Koltiska with the Sheridan Police Department, and we're hiring peace officers. If you already live here, you know how amazing this community is. If you're from outside the area, you'll discover that Sheridan is full of outdoor adventure, great schools, and a strong community. Sheridan is a place thousands visit every year, and a place we're proud to call home, and we're also proud to serve and protect. We're looking for people of character with a strong sense of responsibility who want more than just a job. Whether you're an experienced officer or considering a career in law enforcement, we offer opportunities for growth, training, and a chance to make a real difference. If you're ready to serve a community that supports its officers, we'd like to hear from you. See more about the job description, pay, training, and benefits, and to apply, visit SheridanWY.gov. That's SheridanWY.gov.